disciples, "The day will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." And then in verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah." So the Lord is referring to this as an actual event, an actual time frame where Noah was. "It will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, it was also in the days of Lot." And then he goes on about Lot. Now, we're going to talk about Noah. If you could put that first slide, this is my first point. Simply that, one door. One door. So Noah, who was considered, as the Lord said, "And Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord." Was Noah perfect? No, he wasn't. There's never been anybody perfect except one man. And that's the Lord Jesus. But Noah was a righteous man. And so God gives him instructions to build an ark. And I'm sure that Noah in himself was thinking, "What is this all about? Here we are in dry ground. We're not near a body of water. And here I am building this huge ark." If you ever want to see a reproduction of the ark that was built according to the dimensions given in the Bible, some friends of ours from Maine actually helped us move to Canada, went down to Kentucky, and there you can see it. It is huge. And I can see, yes, you could definitely fit a lot on that boat. If you can think about Noah for a moment, here Noah gets instructions from God. He says, "I want you to build this ark, and here are the dimensions." And Noah's looking at this. This is quite a daunting task. And in fact, if you think of it, the amount of time to have this built would be a long time. And God wanted it that way. But think about Noah for a moment. And then think about our situation as people of God. Noah starts building. John Doe comes up to Noah. "Hey, Noah, what you doing?" "Well, God wants me to build an ark." "Are you kidding me? An ark?" "Yes." "And God?" "Oh, Noah, come on now." And that goes on day after day after day after day. Did Noah have doubts? One day I'll find out. I'm sure he did, as we all do, we're human. Was he rejected for his faith in doing what God had told him to do? Absolutely. Do you think he felt alone? Absolutely. Do you think he had friends who, when he told them about what he was doing, they probably said, "Noah, I'm out of here"? Now think about our lives as we are people of God. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you sometimes feel alone? Do you sometimes feel rejected? Do you sometimes feel that, is it really worth it all? And just like the Lord said, the coming days when he will return, it will be like that. Noah was a man of God, and Noah stayed faithful. As I said before, he wasn't perfect. But God saw that he was trusting him. And he knew that he could trust him to build this ark. So the instructions included what? All you have to do is look at the screen. There's one door in this ark. Only one. There's not different entry points as excuse me, as there are in ships. There's just one door. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 16, he instructed Noah to put that door in. So God's provision in this particular instance in the great flood was the way to salvation was through what? One door. That was the only way to go in that one door. And that's God's provision for their safety and salvation, just one way. God's plan for our salvation and safety is what? One way, one door. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. There's one way, there's one door. One way and one door. You go to the next slide. Remember that, just one. God remembered. Does God forget? No, he doesn't forget. He chooses, in this particular sense, to remember. In the flood, if you can picture, and this morning as I was looking over this, our apartment looks over a retention pond. And last spring, I believe it was last spring, maybe it was in the summer, it rained probably for about 3 days straight. And I'm looking at this retention pond going up and up and up, and then it starts overflowing, coming across the walking path. And I'm thinking, we are right in the path of that thing coming into our apartment. That's just 3 days. Think of this, if you can picture it, torrential. It's not just a sprinkling shower, it's torrential rain. Day and night, day and night, day and night for 40 days. Not only that, the earth breaks up and water comes up through. So it covers the highest peak at that time in the land. So for 40 days and 40 nights and 150 days after that, they're sitting on the water. And then the waters start to subside. You'll notice the number 40 a lot in the Bible. 40 years in the wilderness. The Lord's temptation was how many days? 40. In Scripture, it's a time of testing. And then in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, it says this, and God remembered Noah. God hadn't forgot about him. God remembered his covenant. Asa was talking about a little bit earlier about Noah was part of the covenant people. God would save a remnant of his creation. But he would destroy the earth with floodwaters because of the wickedness of mankind. God was taking care of Noah in the storm and in the ark. He was always there with him and those with him. God was always with him. Noah was always on God's mind. You know something that we are always on God's mind? A lot of times in life I've thought, and probably most early on in my Christian life, God, you've forgotten about me. And we ask this question, what about me? Have you forgotten me? It may be going through a really tough time where things don't seem to be going that well, and you think, God, have you forgotten about me? Where are you? But you know something? He's there every single step of the way. He doesn't forget about us. He's there with us all the time. All the time. For me, that has been a comfort over the years and my years on this planet, heading to 61 times around the sun. In Matthew chapter 28, part of the Great Commission, in verse 20, he says, I am with you a couple of days out of the week, most of the time. No, he says, I am with you always. Always means always, people. Always means always. He said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of this age. He had a plan for Noah. He has a plan for you. Has he had a plan for Noah? He has a plan for you. What I would say in this instant is always trust him. You know what? Because he always knows what he's doing. All the time. We could change to the next slide. So one door God remembered. Saved by faith. Again, imagine Noah going about this day after day, year after year, year after year, and the ridicule and the harsh words, and you can't even imagine probably what Noah went through. If you would turn with me over to the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. So one of the things that I get from that is that he loved God, and he had a godly fear of the great Creator. By faith Noah. I love that, just that those three words, by faith Noah. Being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We talk about faith at the dawn of history and how it continues on through. And here Noah is listed as one who had a fear of God. He moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark as God had given him the instructions for the saving of his household. And because of that, he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Can that be said of us? Are we faithful to God? Are we moved every day with a godly fear of who God is? God is a loving, wonderful Father. We say, Abba, Father. But let us not forget that he is a God of justice. He is a God of righteousness. He is a God of perfection. Let us move in our lives, not in a lackadaisical way. Hey, listen, I'm saved. I can go do what I want to do. No. That's not what he saved us for. We too must have faith in God in order to be saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, think back to what I was saying. There is only one way. There's only one door, and that's through him. I hear so many people out talking about the God of their own minds, that God will, I'm a pretty good person. My stepmother brought up in Germany in Catholicism. Her theology is, I'm a pretty good person. I'm going to make it. In Ephesians, if you turn there just for a moment, some of you could probably quote this verbatim. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. My friends, no other plan will work. The universe won't save you. I often hear a lot of times on Facebook is, oh, I got to thank the universe today. Well, for me, I'm going to thank the creator of the universe. I'm going to thank the Lord of this universe. I'm going to thank the sustainer of this universe, who is all the same person, and that is God, the God of Abraham, and my God. Noah, how was he saved? He believed God. And if I could say, God counted it unto him as righteousness. He believed God and he followed the instructions given by God. And because of that, he was saved and his household. We too must have faith in the only true God, as I had related before, and it's through the only person, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. You change the slide. God's desire. It comes back to what I just quoted in John 3:16. God's desire is that no one perish. God didn't say one day, let's put together an ark, and after that day, here come the rain. He didn't. It took seemingly, in today's terms, forever to build that ark. Why? Why so long? That ark was a reminder, as Noah was preaching, as he was building, of God's impending judgment. They could have been saved, but they just did not want to hear it. It gave him time to preach. His work gave a testimony to God's warning. If you have your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Verse 20, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. And 2 Peter, while you're right in 1 and 2 Peter, 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing what? Could you say it? He's not willing what? That anyone should perish. That's the extent of God's love. God, ever since that time he gave Noah the instructions to build the ark, kept building and building. And that was that, if you can picture it, that long suffering that God had during those days that he was building the ark. And here, as he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, because a lot of people will say, come on now. It's been, what, over 2,000 years now since Christ came, he talks about coming soon, and oh, come on. But he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That's God's will, that none should perish. John 3:16 as well. Okay, go to the next one. Rescued by God. Noah was rescued by God in the ark. That seal that he put on, that pitch, put on the gopher wood. Some believe gopher wood is in reference to cedar. So to put that patch, or that pitch, I should say, to protect them from the water. And there is something in our life that protects us. That Christ died on the cross. That blood is a symbol of our protection. That blood was shed. He gave his lifeblood for us that we may be saved. And as I was putting this sermon together, the words from the Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, it says, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let me ask you a question. As Noah was building the ark, you've got this huge door where these animals are coming in. Do you think there was a handle on the inside and kind of like a pull rope to pull it in? No, there wasn't. You know why? Because it was God who shut the door. When everything was complete, all the animals and all the people had come in, it was God who shut the door. And when God had shut the door, nobody else could enter in. The judgment was complete. And once God has saved us, we are eternally saved. God has placed us in his hand, and he says that what? No one can pluck them out of my hand. Safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. And I thought I had one more piece of paper, because if I didn't, I would be in trouble. Okay, the next slide. So we have rescued by God and God's promises. When the ark had finally rested, and Noah had taken the animals that were brought along for sacrifice, what did God do? Do anybody remember? After it rains and the sun is out, what do you see? A rainbow. And that rainbow was a covenant by God that he would never again destroy the earth by water. And God is true to his promises. And what I love about God's promises, they are based on his character. They are based on his word. Are we always true to our promise? No. We like to be people of our word. We like to be people that if we're going to promise somebody something, that we're going to follow through. But his promises are not based on our character. They are based on his word. I remember early on in my Christian life, I got saved when I was 14, but my teenage years were kind of, not wild and crazy, but a little bit turbulent, and really questioning, because I had this sense of, well, I don't really feel saved. How could God save me if I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, or How can he love me if I'm doing this and doing that? And then it came to me. I got to tell just a quick story. When my wife and I first started dating, my mom, Patty's a nurse, so she would taking care of my mom. I met her, and then we got together, and she knew that I was a Christian. And I wasn't going to church. And one of the things she said, Steve, if we're going to date, we're going to church. And we did. And it was through the constant and consistent preaching of the word that I realized this wonderful fact, that God's promise isn't based on what I do. It's based on his word, his character, his promise. When God promises to save us, he saves us. Do we always do it right? No. Are we perfect in our faith? No. Does that change what God has promised us? No. And finally, there we go. Do you believe that? Amen. Jesus is coming again. Let me go back to Luke's gospel. He talks about the days of Noah. He talks about the days of Lot and the days of Sodom. And he talks about the fact that he's coming back again. Now, without getting into a lot of theology, that is true. He's coming back to this earth again to reign. I also believe that he's coming for his church. That one day, could be today, they'll take us up. And so, as Thessalonians says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's, as Noah did, make every day count. It is sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes it seems like a really long process. Sometimes it seems really hard. Sometimes it seems like, oh, I wish I'd stopped being ridiculed for my faith. I'm sure Noah felt those things, but he stayed faithful. Let us make every day count, and let us remain faithful.